Was it possible to get any closer to another human being? Of course it was, and she knew it as well as he did, and wanted it with a desperate certainty that didn't bear questioning. Captain O'Deffer. Rory, he said hoarsely, nuzzling the hair at her temple, the top of her cheekbone. Rory? Rory, he repeated impatiently, his tongue coming out to touch, to taste the delicate skin of her ear and trace its shell-like perfection. She was back in his arms again, his jaw rough with stubble beneath her fingertips, his hair coarse and wiry as she plunged her hand through his wildly curling mane and freed it from its queue to spill around his broad, powerful shoulders. Her fingers explored the feel of his cheeks and jaw. His hands roved down her back, framed her hips, and she suddenly grabbed for his shoulders as he lifted her as easily as if she were an empty jar. She pulled her legs up, wrapped them around his hips as he walked and locked her arms around his neck, watching the deck now moving beneath her from over his shoulder. "You ought to hate me, lass." "I ought to, but I don't. I'm not in the business of ravishing beautiful young women, even if they are English. Sometimes a woman wants to be ravished, Rory, just once. Do it right, and a woman will want to be ravished a whole lot more times than just once. Maybe we only have once. We will never see each other again after tomorrow." After tomorrow. Why did those two simple words and the thought of being back with her brothers, back in her quiet, predictable, ordered world, cause her heart to feel as though someone had just speared it with a dull knife? After tomorrow. He carried her to the stern windows, stopping along the way to retrieve a bottle from a drawer in his desk and two tin mugs, both hopelessly dented. The sensation of being in such huge, powerful arms made her a little breathless, made her feel small and sheltered and deliciously protected. Holding her against himself with one hand, he put the bottle and mugs down, yanked the light canvas cushions from the stern seat, and tossed them to the deck flooring. He set her down, unbuckled his sword belt and put it aside. She shook off the midshipman's jacket. A moment later, they were both lying on the cushions, stretched out alongside and facing each other. She propped herself on one elbow, gazing into his unfairly beautiful, long-lashed eyes that made him look innocent and harmless. She had seen the rough edges that made up his character. She had sensed the restless, predatory coil just below the surface. There was nothing innocent or harmless about this man. This man, she sensed, was as dangerous as any of her brothers. Propping the side of his head in one hand, he reached out and grasped a long, blonde hank of her hair, smoothing it between his fingers. "I want to make love to you, lass. I want you to, Rory. You know what it entails, don't you?" She blushed but forced herself to be bold. "I know certain things, and I've been touched before." "Have you now?" He was smiling with just one corner of his mouth. "Of course, it was nothing more than a touch, and it might have been quite accidental, really. I'm a lady, Captain."
"I see. Do ladies lack the same desires that other females have?"
"I'm not an other female, so I don't know." He let go of her hair and with one finger traced the curve of her jaw down to her throat, causing her to suppress a little shiver of desire.
"Well, I've never taken a high-born English lady to me bed, but I can tell you right now, Lady Nerissa, that you've got the same parts and pieces as any other, whether she be an Irish barmaid or an American seamstress, and I know very well how to make those parts and pieces work, to sing together in harmony, to bring you such pleasure that you'll think you've died and gone to heaven."